Blog Talk Radio.
Who that say gonna beat them Saints? Who that?
Oh, when the Saints go marching in. Oh, when...
Each new Sunday, professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth, it is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. That's some fun.
Coming now, buddy. We on our horse all day long. Let's just kick this ball all day long.
Pick it up. Don't stop. Pick it up. Let's go.
Get after the ball. Tackle somebody.
Regulators, mount up. We're coming.
Pro football is a mirror of early America. Reflecting toughness, courage, and self-denial.
There he is! Whoa! Whoa! Good job! Good job!
That's what I'm going to play out there, buddy.
Hey,
nice job.
Overpowering two. Ready. 45.
We're all playing, bro.
45.
We're all playing.
Right here.
All right.
Keep on playing at this level, huh? Keep it up, baby. Keep it up.
We're going to be here all day, baby.
Hand
it
up,
buddy. They're coming at you. You better smile.
Sorry, buddy. Yeah, let's see. All right, everyone.
Each new Sunday meant a brand new challenge.
Yes, it is indeed. Yes, sir. The one only.
I'm telling you, nobody could make those highlights as epic as he could.
No, sir. And I just honor him all the time. Even as all of Baton Rouge watches LSU get the crap kicked out of him for the first time in I don't know how long by Mississippi State.
Oh, shit. Well,
they beat them like seven straight times in Starkville or whatever.
Right.
And now they're getting their asses kicked 37-7, fourth quarter.
Is it also in Starkville?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir. It's a, well, you know. I follow them because I'm born here, and it's a big thing here, but I'm not that invested in it. But, man, I've never seen – you just don't see this from this team. Even in a bad year, they don't get blown out much. I mean, it has to be
right.
an Alabama or somebody like that to blow them out, you know?
Yeah, State's not usually the kind of team that you associate with, blowing out an LSU or one of the better SEC teams.
They couldn't beat us with Zach Prescott, but they – well, he's at home anyway.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, well. Oh, well, no, I don't know.
Whether we're being heard or not.
No sound checkers. But that's okay. We've got everything last minute, everyone, so I'm sorry. You were having some difficulty with your Skype, were you, bro?
My head was not in the right place. Last 3 days, pretty much ready to go on this. And mm-hmm. All it took was one thing tonight to completely make me blank on what it was I was forgetting. That's not going to happen in the future because I am setting up in Outlook a ongoing reminder here.
One of my favorite apps, it's just the lifesaver app for me on my phone is my to-do.
There you go.
I love that sucker. I mean, I just put like, because look, I've done this show far more infrequently in the past couple of years than I used to. So, look,
right.
Every time I'm doing the show, I just put a little do the fucking show, dumbass, on there. And 10 minutes before the show, it'll come up saying, I bet you forgot the show, huh, a-hole? Do it.
And you're like, oh.
Amongst other things, like, I use it a lot. I use that thing a lot. That's a very useful app there.
Yes, yes. I can definitely believe it. If I had a smartphone that was actually a smartphone and not, it's sort of approximates a smartphone, but it's not Android. It's not like iOS or anything. It's something I use with track phone. Bare minimum functionality, I even had a waitress make fun of it. Oh, look how small your phone is. Isn't it cute? And I was like, oh, my God. I'm almost afraid that's a, there are other implications. No, don't call my phone small.
Well, you'll be all right. Phone
yeah,
the phone.
I will. I'll be all right.
Oh, man. Well, let's see here. Excuse me. Getting situated my damn self. We always start off kind of frazzled here, but welcome, everyone. Please excuse me. I was in a hurry. I was handling a whole bunch of stuff, so the last second, got a chance to grab a little bit of little late-night eats there.
Looks like we have Skull Monkeys in the chat room here. Not sure which of our friends that is.
I don't know, but I like it. Skull Monkeys, welcome, welcome. And, of course, that crazy Cobra Clutch Live, watch out
yeah,
for him.
Got to watch out for him. He'll make
watch
some weird football picks on you.
Yeah, he'll win and he'll beat me every time, apparently. So,
count on that.
Let's see here. Let's what we will do, of course, welcome everyone to Clobbering Time, issue number 612. New Orleans Saints, Chicago Bears team up. Saints fan, Bears fan team up. I started trying to think of names for it and stuff like. We just call
it's
it like the two mics.
Like it's like the super team family team up, the guy who does the comics.
Exactly. It, by the way, building up to an early season confrontation, so that'll be exciting. And the Superdome.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, we must. We're doing the Buccaneers tomorrow, so we're just making our tour through the NFC South.
By the time we play you, we'll have played your whole division. So.
Yes. Yes.
What we do basically. Welcome again, everyone. Before I get started, I want to say that this is, of course, Clobbering Time that comes at you on Blog Talk Radio, via the Possum Hour Network, actually, because the Grenache Network, I'm sorry, why did I do that, man? You think by now. Anyway, the Grenache Network, on which features our flagship show, Possum Hour, Wendy, Decker, Gumby, all those people, especially Commodore Decker, will give you the craziest, outrageous, eclectic recordings known to mankind in the wildest chat room on BTR. That is, of course, Monday nights and even sometimes on Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And wild, great stuff. I suggest you check it out. And on weekdays, at least once a week when we can do it, of course, we clobber here. What we do is basically we talk about geek stuff. Geek stuff in the traditional sense, you know, comics, science fiction, fantasy-related entertainment media and such. And this football season, we're a return to past glories where we used to speak on the NFL. And We used to speak mainly of my beloved New Orleans Saints, and then of course other happenings in the NFL. Well, damn it, I hate when I do that. I should have buttons for that sort of thing. Now we're expanding it a bit. We basically, because it's always more fun to have someone to. You know, I used to do it by myself, and it wasn't as much fun. It's always had more fun to have someone do the show with you. Who understands what you know what you're talking about on the same level that you do? In fact, more so in Michael's case, you know, he's way smarter than me. And then
you're not counting on that.
And someone who also loves the team as passionately, so it's always good to have a team. And so we just thought we'll focus on our two respective and beloved teams, but also talk a good bit about the NFL as well, what we know and what we can share with you. So all that stuff is what we'll do on Clobbering Time. Saints Bears, or I don't know, we'll think of a name for it. Maybe we'll call it the Two Mics. I don't know.
It's you know still open for naming, and we are accepting naming rights.
Yeah.
It could be the Citibank Mike and Mike Show. You know, we are very open to licensing opportunities.
If they want to pay us,
that's exactly right.
We are waiting for them.
There we go.
And also, again, everyone, I'd like to make an announcement. Along the geek lines, this coming Tuesday night, I am proud to welcome back to the show one of my greatest pals and one of the greatest contributors who's always been a great guest on the show. Retroblasting, of course, is a wonderful website run by my dear friends Michael French and Melinda Mock. And go check it out, by the way, retroblasting.com. They have a wonderful YouTube channel on which they basically deconstruct and or criticize and or reconstruct and or analyze 80s geek subject matter and culture, such as cartoons, toys, and films and other things connected to the 80s. If you're a big fan of the 80s, if you grew up in that decade, or you just like to read about it or hear about it, and if you like those, you know, a lot of the cartoons that came out in that time and the toys, if you collect some of the toys from that era, Star Wars, G.I. Joe, He-Man, all this stuff, they just have the most amazingly well-produced videos on those subjects. Go to their website first, and then that'll take you to the YouTube page. Well, Michael French will be joining me Tuesday night, and we will be talking about The Empire Strikes Back Revisited, which, of course, is anyone who is familiar with Star Wars Revisited, created by the great Mr. Adiwan over there on – he's called Adiwan on Facebook anyway. I don't know the gentleman's real name. He spent many, many years, and Michael French helped make it happen, to where he created a fan edit, if you will. I guess that's kind of what you would call them. Of Star Wars, the original 19 – I'm one of those that hate saying New Hope. I'm one of those that hate saying, you know, any kind of qualifier. I just like saying Star Wars. But I understand you do have to – for communication's sake, sometimes you should say New Hope or Chapter 4 or whatever. But it is
the title of the movie. So.
Right. But it is Star Wars. It's not, you could say 77. Anyway, the first film from 77, and he did an amazing job called Star Wars Revisited. By the way, it is available free online. You could go online, you could find the torrent to it and download it for free and see what you think. All they ever ask is, hey, that you bet one time in your life you had purchased Star Wars on a VHS or a DVD or what have you. And if you're interested in Star Wars Revisited, the chances are you have. Well, now, for the past 10 years, just up until about a couple of weeks ago, 10 solid years, the man has been working on The Empire Strikes Back Revisited, which is basically he didn't toy with or mess with a lot of the same things that he did with Star Wars, but he did. Michael's going to tell us the details because it's tough to know everything about it, to know what to look for, but I finally – it's my favorite film of all time. It's Michael's favorite film of all time, Michael French, and it's beautiful. What this man did is absolutely astonishing. First of all, just with things like color correction, it's the most beautiful copy of this I've ever seen, man. Certainly since I saw it those 16 or 18, whatever times I saw it on the theater screen, 15, whatever it was, in 1980. Beautiful copy. He didn't mess with much of anything other than he color corrected and he edited certain things, and he did build some sets and film a lot of different things that he added to it. It's just an astonishing thing to see if you're a fan of the film. And I, again, obviously, with Star Wars Revisited, he eventually came out with this thing that you could download that was a pop-up menu where he tells you everything he does. He's going to do one of those eventually, but we don't have one of those yet. But the man who understands it the most, outside of Adiwan himself, of course, has to be Mr. Michael French. And we are going to talk about that Tuesday night. The Empire Strikes Back Revisited, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. So that will be our Clobbering Time Retro Blasting team up. We have not done a show together in a long time. So now the two mics. Now, Mr. Michael Shoemaker.
Yes, yes.
The NFL. Both of our teams came up short, unfortunately.
Yeah, they did.
Opening weekend. Both of us.
Yeah, and I came away with some distinct impressions from the game with the Saints, and that's that with the Vikings having an improved offensive line, very obviously. I mean, Bradford wasn't having to check down because it was a jailbreak every play like it was for the Vikings last year. The Vikings, and of course, this is all contingent on that offensive line play continuing, but if it does, he's got some good targets to throw to. They've already got one of the best defenses in the game, and the Vikings could be real contenders this year. It's not any kind of sin to lose to a good team, and I think that where the Saints, you know, you could look at it from a standpoint of they've got nowhere to go but up. In the case of the Vikings, they pulled the Chiefs basically in the sense that a guy that you associate like Alex Smith, a guy that you associate with checkdowns and throwing short passes,
right,
went downfield a lot more. And that could bode well for them contending in the NFC North. On the converse, you know, the Bears came up short against the Falcons, and I've got the glass half full outlook on that one, in that for starters, they may not be playing their best quarterback. I mean, in terms of sheer talent, they're not. But in terms of the person who gives them the best chance to win, even potentially not, even though the rookie Trubisky is inexperienced. And I guess we'll see what kind of leash Glennon is going to have if they continue to lose. But, you know, they had four plays from inside the five, and they had two dropped passes that would have either won the – one would have won the game. The other could have won the game. And so to be in it until the very end is, you know, one of those things that at least leaves you hopeful. You're certainly hoping that the things that the I don't want to say experts exactly, but the things we've been watching as fans are, you know, first of all, the defense, because we've got Vic Fangio as our defensive coordinator, and he does really good work on especially in 3-4 defenses. And he has been steadily improving the defense. They've been steadily improving the talent on defense. And, you know, one of the best ways to turn around your franchise and make it competitive is to have a solid defense against, you know, even explosive offenses. And so he's been bringing that to the Bears, and it's been getting better and better. So it was good to see that, because the Falcons have just a, you know, very dynamic offense with, you know, and any offense that features Julio Jones, for crying out loud, is going to be dangerous. So the fact that they kept the receivers more or less in check all game was really, you know, it was really a good thing. It took a blown coverage, really, for Austin Hooper, the Falcons tight end, to get the 88-yard touchdown they got. And that may well have been, and it probably was, because you know how your middle linebacker makes the defensive calls. And Jarrell Freeman was the middle linebacker, and he had a concussion. And so everyone on defense is looking around like, what's the call? What's the call? And Freeman, who was concussed, and you never know when a player knows when they're concussed or not, but he didn't make the right call. And that led to confusion, and that led to the points. And so, you know, you never know what kind of game it could have been had that not happened. So, I guess what I'm trying to say regarding both the Saints and the Bears is that I still saw enough out of the Saints to think that they are going to win some games this year. And I saw enough out of the Bears that I think I can't say that they're going to win a lot of games, but I think they're definitely looking better than the preseason prognosticators, who basically put them in the same category as like the Jets and the Browns. I never thought that was warranted to begin with. I mean, those are two exercises in futility as franchises go. Let's be blunt. And I think they're going to be better. You know, the record may not reflect it, but it's, to me, it feels like this is a better team than they were even 2 years ago. And they are in a position, thanks to the defense in particular, to keep games close enough where they can contend. And so one or two more years, I do believe that we will be legitimate contenders. It just depends on how quickly Trubisky is able to start and get experience and actually take those formative steps toward being a franchise quarterback, which, you know, he's, to me, he's got the tools. He showed those tools. Yeah. And so you're just hoping that that's the case. But, I mean, it's something to hang your hat on, because we haven't had Drew Brees. You know, that's the hell of it all. We haven't had that franchise guy. And gosh, it's, you know, got to be nice to have enjoyed Mr. Brees' time.
Dude, I tell you, I've talked about this for a while, just on the subject of Mr. Brees. I've told Saints fans this for a long time. I've told anyone who will listen. You do not understand how spoiled we are, but you will.
Right.
You and I have talked about it recently, how few and far between great quarterbacks are. To take a team, well, first of all, excuse me, damn it, why? Let me get started. All right, look, Willie Snead was out this past week.
Right.
One of his best weapons. They got rid of Brandon Cooks like idiots. They take constantly are taking weapons away from Brees, and he still, even with nothing, there. Were, I mean, again, as you can see on a couple of the plays there, he was able to make. He was having a lot of trouble going downfield because it was just no time. We also, you know, Zach Streep is not so great as he is. We lost him. That hurt. Teron Armstead went out of the game as well. who couldn't protect Breeze, and yet still they got within 10 points of a game they really shouldn't have been. He had no weapons left. They really got the few times he still took a shot deep, he got close, but he, you know, he just couldn't get into the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
And he still, every time he's out there, he still gives you a chance. But what you were saying about the Vikings, look, and I don't disagree. I think they look like they are much improved, but the Saints are not going to be a great judge of that because we, frankly, have not had a pass rush in years. Cam Jordan's really the only player we have on that team right now that is a proven Pro Bowler. A lot of other guys could step up here and there throughout the course of the season. But right now, our defense, you know, the Vikings did it at home in their opening their new stadium. It was their new stadium, right?
Yes.
Opening their new stadium debut against mediocre defense and an offense that was crippled pretty good, but still had Breeze. So, that again, that's why this game ever had any doubt at all. Because it was a 10-pointer. It's a 10-point game. And anytime there's a 10-point game, it's a two-possession game. So if a team wins by 10 points, you didn't blow anybody out.
Right.
And the only reason it wasn't a blowout is because Breeze still made some plays with what he had.
Sure.
And that's all. Yes. So it wasn't much of a – it was other than that, that's probably a 42-13 game or something.
Right.
Without – and what I've tried to do is explain to fans for years, fans of the Saints for years, is – and they don't – and I guess not everyone can understand and look at the game the way you can and the way many others can. They just watch and they see, he's great, I love him. He's great. Well, let me tell you something. He's not only great. Half the time when you only lose by a touchdown or two, it's because he's in there at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that means 9 times out of 10 in the course of watching him play for this team since 2006, 9 times out of 10, 8 times out of 10, whatever, no matter how far you were down at the beginning of the fourth quarter, you knew you had a chance. You didn't always win, but you almost never go, well, it's over.
Right.
We didn't, and that, my friend, is being spoiled.
Oh, totally, totally.
That is being spoiled. How many other, when you got, for example, when you go into the fourth quarter and you're down by a couple of touchdowns, unless you got a Brady, a Breeze, or an Aaron Rodgers or somebody like that, how many other quarterbacks are you going to go, we might not win, but we got a chance.
Right.
Usually a couple touchdowns and, you know, or at least things like if you're going down 17 points or something, usually it's over.
Yep.
But the spoiled fan will go, we got Tom Brady.
Right.
Who knows? And the majority of the time, he's going to find a way to win that game. So that's why you say that. And then all of a sudden, when it's a rare situation like Tom Brady has been in the league now, 17 years, whatever.
Yeah.
16 years.
Displaced Drew Bledsoe. So it Breeze, was 2001.
Right, and Breeze has been in the league like 16 years. He's been here for 11 years. He's in his 11th, I believe his 11th season. You get spoiled, and you think,
look,
and we still bitch about Breeze. Look, Breeze, you know, we still bitch about him sometimes when he's screwed up, but the fact is, never once have we gone into a fourth quarter behind where we didn't go, even as lousy as he's playing or whatever's fucked up, there's still a shot that he could make something happen. And that and people don't understand – nobody's saying that about let's just talk about an average quarterbacks here for a minute. Nobody's
sure.
really saying that about Sam Bradford.
Right. Well, you can't exclude Scott Tolzien from that list of
Of course. Other than him.
You.
Now, when you got Tolzien, you always got a shot. That's what we've heard
there
that for
go.
Years, right? So in other words, no one says it about Carson Palmer. He's
right.
a good quarterback. No one says, we got Carson in there, man. Don't worry.
Yeah.
No one says that about 20-something, 22, or maybe 28 quarterbacks in the league.
Right, right.
That they might go, he's pretty good. But they don't say, you don't look at him and go, man, I don't care what's happening. We got a shot. And so that to be spoiled like at that level, very few fans have known what that is because it doesn't happen that many times in NFL history.
Right. Well, that's
if you think
truth.
About it.
That is the truth, and I would say that it's definitely a case where I know I've seen this in different conversations. It's more about what tier, if you're putting a tier together of quarterbacks,
right.
Or tiers, where different quarterbacks fall into. And most of them, of course, are going to fall into that middle of the pack. Or let's see, if you've got three tiers. No, I would put four just to have a special tier on the top that's preserved for like two or three people. You know, the Breeze, the Brady, the Rogers. So thus far, those are the guys who, when you think about great quarterback play, those are really the go-to names. And then you've got a tier of upper tier quarterbacks who are still guys who are, you think of them as winners. And, you know, you may not think of them as the kind of people who can just work magic, but they are still going to win for your team. You've got a middle tier of guys who are 50-50. You don't want to put your team's fortunes entirely on them the way you would another special guy. You can build around them and you might be able to win a Super Bowl. But you really have to have a solid overall team before you can even think about that. And then you got the bottom of the barrel, basically you need a body in there, somebody to at least take the snap and hand the ball off. And that's where, unfortunately, too many of our NFL quarterbacks seem to have fallen lately. But there is kind of a qualifier to that, or at least a contributing factor, and it's something that I thought might make for interesting point of discussion tonight. And that's that somebody this week pointed out something that was, and it was like you pointed out with New Orleans, when they, of course, their thing was, it's not that their offensive line overall is bad when the starters are in there, it's that they had a couple of key injuries, and so that really caused them a lot of trouble, especially because the Vikings have an exceptional pass rush. They've got Everson Griffin.
Yes.
I forget the guy on the other side, but you know their defensive ends are very good. And so when you lose your starting tackles, you're in trouble. And so somebody pointed out though, and this kind of feeds into the trouble of relying on college football as your feeder system. College football has been moving towards spread offenses for years now. It is tough to find a school, even a Division II school, that runs a pro-style offense where you've got a quarterback who puts his hands under the center and blockers that are required to do more than just shuffle back and either do a delayed block for a delayed handoff or basically do one block before the ball's coming out. In other words, offensive linemen particularly are coming out ill-prepared for the game. And I'll tell you something. Last Sunday, the Seattle Seahawks ran into that big time because they have a terrible offensive line. For some reason, they have never prioritized their offensive line very much. And it really showed. I mean, it was a case where, you know, people don't think of defense as being a strength of the Packers for good reason. They haven't really drafted anybody especially important there. They usually don't focus on the defensive line or anything like that. They were lucky when they got Clay Matthews, and it was surprising when they went after Julius Peppers for a while and had him for a little while. But by and large, their defense is nothing special, and they were getting a jailbreak after Russell Wilson on practically every play.
Yeah,
he just had almost no time to throw, and he's already kind of, I would only put him in that middle tier of quarterbacks at best anyway. So.
Right.
I don't know what they expected to accomplish. I mean, Seattle's got an excellent defense, and that did keep it closer than it would have been. But the fact is that for them to really have had any chance to win that game and to have any chance of, let's just say, going deep into the playoffs, you know, they're going to have to find some sort of solution on that offensive line. But like I said, the articles that I've been reading about offensive linemen coming out of college, this last draft was one of the first drafts where there wasn't an offensive lineman taken before like the 20th pick in the first round. And it's because coaches are recognizing these guys are not ready to play. You know, basically a lot of these guys are getting brought in and they're effectively being redshirted and they're being trained up because they have a lot to learn about blocking technique and timing and all the things that go into the pro offense and pro game that they just were not taught. So they're basically being brought in more or less based on their physical characteristics and not because they're actually skilled at what they do.
Wow.
And so that's it's kind of an epidemic, you know, it a lot of teams are really running into that. The best teams have had a few offensive linemen or practically the whole offensive line together for a while so that they can, you know, gain those skills and gain that chemistry. And it's really affecting a lot of teams now, and it's really noticeable when you see it, when you see these guys running through like they're practically, you know, like they're turnstiles, you know, getting run through, I should say. So it kind of makes me wonder. I think the NFL, and I'm just going to put this out there, the NFL used to have NFL Europe, and that was a big effort on their part. And before that, it was the World League of American Football. But when they especially went to Europe, they had the idea that this was going to be part of their outreach. They were going to try to expand the appeal of the game beyond our borders. I think that they need to return to the idea of a spring league where they have actual teams teaching pro concepts to players of different skill levels and creating players who are readier to play at the NFL level. Yeah. And, you know, let college do what college is going to do. You know, I mean, the NCAA is always going to be there. We're, you know, always going to have college football. But I think there needs to be some kind of semi-pro or minor league system that is NFL endorsed. I know that there's a four-team league up in the Northwest, I want to say. It may be Paul Allen, one of the guys, billionaire type guys, is backing a league that would essentially be what I'm talking about, but it's very small scale. And I think that the NFL would benefit from having a minor league system like baseball does. Because, you see, here's the thing. A lot of these minor league teams, particularly ones associated with the baseball teams in question that run them, they actually have the logos for that team, even if they're playing in someplace else. Like the Atlanta Braves, they used to play in Jackson. I don't know if they still do, but they had the Jackson Braves. And I know that a lot of people would go there just because there are a lot of Braves fans around in the South, and they would want to see, A, people wearing uniforms that say the Braves with the Braves logo on them, and B, prospects that might move up to the actual Braves team itself. So there was that connection there. And I don't know about you, but I would watch a minor league team with the Chicago Bears uniforms on it. In the same way that I watch NFL preseason, I would watch a spring league featuring, you know, the Peoria Bears, you know, or wherever they chose to put the minor league team.
Right.
And I think that I think that you would probably at least keep up with it. You know,
I would watch it.
The Baton Rouge Saints, you know, or something like that. You know, they wouldn't have to play in a big stadium or anything.
I used to watch NFL Europe.
You see, that's it. I watched NFL Europe. I watched the World League of American Football. They had they had the innovation where Brian Kerwin, one of the better World League of American Football quarterbacks, he played for the Orlando team, had a helmet, a camera in his helmet, you know, so you could actually see things from his perspective. And I think that, you know, they kind of need something to help with player development because the leagues before that, college ain't getting it done. And I just wanted to bring that up as a conversational topic.
Well, yeah,
because, you know,
it's amazing. Very interesting.
Yeah, just seems like the time is right.
Well, I was not aware of that. That's amazing. And, yeah, something like that, I've always thought they should have I never understood why they got rid of NFL Europe. I mean, especially since they're so gung-ho on selling NFL in Europe anyway. Instead of giving them our games, give them a league again. If it's what they want, let them have an NFL league over there that's, you know, and that is, again, a farm league. They seem to love it.
Well,
there's
another thing to remember too. A couple of notable alums of NFL Europe were Brad Johnson, who played good football for the Vikings and the Redskins,
Kurt
Warner. Yeah, exactly.
Jake DeLome. There are a lot of them.
Yeah, exactly. You see, there were several, and it meant something in their development. It made them better pro players, and so, you know, that's what the NFL wants to be. They don't want to put mediocre product out because people lose interest in that. And so if they can actually go so far as to contribute toward people you know, actually being good at what they do by the time they actually get to the team in question, I think that's a positive development. You know, call me crazy. I'm crazy.
Well, there you go. You're crazy, but like a fox.
Like a fox.
There you go, man. Well, to wrap up basically on our two games from this past weekend, just the final thoughts on the Saints game.
Sure.
Look, this was a team, like I said, as Drew did not play that well, but without him, we wouldn't even have been a 10-pointer. This was a game that we don't – I come away from it not with a full opinion yet. Give him some of his weapons back. Bring Willie Snead back if we can protect him a little bit better. We might still have something on offense. I'm going to need to see a couple more games to know for sure on that one. But this defense is definitely a work in progress. They've made some good pickups, but they weren't – I don't know. Right now, I'm going to have to see a lot of them. What I will tell you, and we'll do it later when we pick the games, but this team is not the kind that just to collapse and lose long, long stretches of games.
Right.
They're built to win just enough to keep fans insane, thinking maybe, and then you get to the all of a sudden you've won 6-7 games and it's over. But they're not the kind, and you know they're not built for a 3 or 4 or 5 even 5 win season. They're put together to where they can win just enough to keep your hopes flailing into the middle of November at least.
Right.
So
I know that soul.
You know how that goes.
Yes, futility.
And again, I don't have much of a read on that game other than it was disappointing. But you know, we're a terrible opening team anyway. We don't win openers. We just don't.
Right.
I mean, never. Not literally never. But you know,
right.
Wow. Let me tell you something. You didn't want to know our opening record. It's bad.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that doesn't really get me too down. Again, we'll talk about when we pick tomorrow's game in a minute. But the thoughts on your Bears, I watched that game, and I was impressed with them. I thought they were scrappy. Again, they were at home, but they were at home against a team that is really talented, as you well know. You guys, I mean, they held in there, and I really thought they were really going to have a chance to win that sucker. They did have a chance, and they, again, that's all you want. That's all. Let me say something. That really is all you want is to be in a game. We used to say this all the time. Again, in the pre-spoiled by Drew Brees days, all we wished for as fans was we just want to be alive when it's time to get into the playoffs. We want to be. If it's a game, we want to be alive down to the wire and at least be in it. And then when it's a season, we want to be in it. We're not saying we're going to win the Super Bowl or anything, but we want to have a chance to get in the playoffs. That's why when it's getting down to the wire and you're not eliminated yet, and people go, oh, come on, man, be realistic. You think this team can win the Super Bowl? No, they're probably not good enough, but I still want to be in the playoffs. Why do you want that if you think they can't win? Because I just want to be – you want to live because you would rather breathe than not breathe.
Right.
You would rather – take every single last breath you possibly can as a being, then not. So as a football, if that's your team, you want every bit out of that season because you realize when that's over, you got fucking 8, 9, 10 months before you get another crack at it, and you got to wait all that time. And that time is brutal if you love watching the game and watching your team. So you want it to last in terms just to have those little hopes. Linger a little bit, and then when they're over, and you know, God, at least if they're over somewhere in December, when you at least were fairly competitive at something, and if you got in the playoffs and got knocked out in the first round, at least you were in the playoffs,
right?
So you know, hey, you want to stay alive as long as you can. I think those Bears are scrappy and might surprise you a little bit this year. I mean, again, we don't know when they're going to make a quarterback change,
right?
The transition. We don't know when that's going to happen, if it's going to happen. But I like your defense.
Yeah, I like the defense too. I like the offensive line. I like our chances in games where you know, you might be able to keep it close with the running game. First of all, I mean, I know you're being honest as far as your assessment is concerned. I appreciate the optimism, and I share it in a lot of respects. I you know. it wasn't that long ago. It was only a few seasons ago, the last year of the Mark Trestman era, and he was our CFL head coach, and he was kind of like I mentioned last time, sort of like if Ned Flanders were your head coach, he would be kind of in that category, you know?
Right, yeah.
And the first season, there was some mild optimism because the offense seemed to have a little bit of life to it. But the second year, just the bottom fell out. The defense was just bland and unimaginative. We kept getting blown out. We got blown out by the Pats, and then we got blown out by the Packers a couple of times. And, you know, it was just one of those cases where you talk about you just want your team to be competitive.
Right.
You know, the team was not. They squeaked out a few wins, and the rest of the time, you know, they were more or less getting beaten up. And it was agonizing, you know, to have to put up with that week after week. And so for the new regime to, first of all, have a draft-first philosophy, I mean, time and again we've seen that's the way to win in the NFL long-term, is to draft and develop your own talent. There are some exceptions when an exceptional guy like Drew Brees shakes free, for example, you know, you pull out all the stops to go after that guy. And, you know, it amazes me that, you know, he was in Miami when Nick Saban was there.
Yep.
And, you know, he was eligible to be a free agent. I think he would have very happily played for the Miami Dolphins. You know, Dolphins have a pretty good tradition at quarterback when you think about it, you know, between
yep.
Bob Greasy and Dan Marino starting as long as they did.
Yep.
But the Dolphins' loss was definitely the Saints' gain. And, you know, that was an exceptional free agent signing. There are a few that really make a difference. But, you know, otherwise, just in the salary cap era, but also in an era where free agents are virtually never worth what they're paid. That's the big thing. You really do need to be able to identify guys coming out who fit your scheme and who have upside and bring those guys in. And, that's what they've been choosing to do. So it appears to be working. You feel like even if it's ever so slowly, kind of like a cruise liner, you know, trying to make a hard turn, you know, it's turning around, you know, it's finally kind of coming to fruition. But then again, if they have a lousy record like they did last year, even in competitive games, you're sitting there thinking, okay, at some point you have to turn those games from competitive games into games that were close but you won, as opposed to finding a way to lose. You know, we both have followed and watched teams that found creative ways to lose
yeah.
over the years, you know. So,
right.
And one of the things I think is going to help, I wasn't a Jay Cutler hater, you know, how we had the future of the franchise there for years. Jay Cutler traded two number one two number one picks to the Broncos to pick him up, plus sent at the time our best quarterback, Kyle Orton, to them. And, you know, a lot of people thought, oh, man, they're getting a great deal for just two number one picks and a player. And because, you know, he was coming off a Pro Bowl year. He has this arm from hell, athletic guy, can make passes rolling out. You know, you figure, well, this is potentially our franchise quarterback. This is our Drew Brees. And unfortunately, the problem is that Jay Cutler, apparently he is he's one of those guys who in the film room and when you're in the offensive room drawing up plays and doing stuff like that, he's got a great head for the game. And you think that, I mean, as a student, you know, he's really good. The problem is he gets on the field and something happens. I don't know what it is. Something happens. He can't read defenses. Rather than going through progressions, he just kind of waits until a guy comes open and then he tries to rifle the ball to him. He doesn't have that anticipation. He can't throw to a spot waiting for the receiver to come out of his break and be there when the ball arrives. He's just not that guy. He's got to see the guy open, or you know, as open as you get in the NFL. And he tries to just use sheer arm strength to rifle the ball in there. And as he threw pick after pick after pick, you realize he wasn't going to get any better. and that he was just not somebody who was going to take you very far into the playoffs. So that's – we finally kind of just had to cut our losses. I mean, there are worse quarterbacks than Jay Cutler in the league, but just after a certain number of years of losing or of mediocre records, and part of it was the interceptions, the inexplicable interceptions. Sometimes he would throw the ball right to a guy and on the other team, I mean. And you were like, what the fuck? He would throw balls into double, triple coverage – And you know, defensive backs just openly joked and laughed about loving to play Jay Cutler because he's always going to throw them gifts, you know. And you're like, no, Jay, aren't you reading this? You know, what are you missing, man? And he also had this tendency to not protect the ball when he was in the pocket. And so I tell you, and I think that this may drive Dolphins fans crazy this year, in addition to any picks he might throw, when he is hit, he is so much likelier than the average quarterback to fumble the ball and lose it. I mean, just seriously, you will get these sack fumbles out of him over and over again. And I'm glad I don't have to deal with that anymore. I'd rather lose with somebody else. You get tired of losing with the same guy, lose with somebody else, doggone it.
Yeah. I hear you, man.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe this week neither one of us will have to lose. If you, we'll pick the games in a minute, but we'll talk about tomorrow a little bit. You guys playing at noon at Tampa, I believe.
Yes, we are. There was some question as to whether that would happen, but yes, we are playing at Tampa.
Okay. All right.
In the Big Five.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, I really, when you know me, I hate Tampa anyway. Not just because they're in the division, I really just can't stand them. So, you'll have me cheering in your corner for sure while I'm watching my debacle. So, what do you think on this one? I mean, obviously Tampa's not to be trifled with. They're a very good team.
Yeah.
Improving team.
Yep.
You know.
I like our chances against a team like the Bucs better than I liked our chances against the Falcons. And to hold the game with the Falcons as close as we did, it's promising. But the only thing is, you just kind of you're still wondering if your team needs a little bit more time with the new people that it's got and so forth to come together a little bit. So. That's why this week I'm taking the Bucks. They haven't played yet, so they're not hurt or as hurt. They're at home. Jameis Winston, I don't know that he's ever going to be an elite quarterback, but he is pretty good, at least at this point. Mainly his mobility, and he does make some nice throws. He's not one of those precision passers that some other teams enjoy, but he's good enough to win with. I think
he's got some weapons.
Yes, and he does have some weapons. So that's one of the reasons why my head tells me to take the Bucks this week. So I'm taking the Bucks this week. But of course, I would very, very much like to be wrong about that.
I hear you, man. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna be a fool again and again.
Okay.
Not homerism. The Patriots, not only do the Patriots have some problems. Now, again, my head tells me the Patriots are going to win. I'm not really sure the Patriots are that good right now. Doesn't mean they're not going to be good later. But I'm going on this from what I know about the New Orleans Saints. This one can go either way. There's no outcome that would surprise me other than a blowout on either side. But this is a Saints team that's going to be coming back in, getting a few people back. And Bill Belichick has had some trouble in the Superdome. Somehow, some way, we have really been able. Breeze has been able to handle them here. We're not good in New England, but we've been very good against them here. And I have a sense this is one of those seasons that's going to be frustrating for us Saints fans. And they're going to play with our emotions a lot. That's just what they do. That's just what they've done since after that Super Bowl victory. That's all they've been good for, really, is playing with our emotions. And so they'll give us some pretty big wins. And I can really see them. Either we have blown the Patriots out before, but I can see them having at least a significant win against the Patriots just to get these fans lulled into, see, that first week was just didn't have their sea legs under them. They had some injuries. They were on the road. No, we're fine. See, right. Look, that's the team we're talking about right there. I could see them beating them, and that because that's the kind of thing that's so – it is so New Orleans Saints of the past 10 years. It's
right.
Like, let's get these guys – you know, false sense of security. Let's show them a couple of wins. We're never good on opening day. So opening day is not a very good tell. So if I'm looking at this, again, it's almost like if we were picking points, this would be a pick 'em game.
Right,
because both teams have problems. Both teams did not play well in their first week game, especially the Patriots. Tom Brady's looking kind of old. I don't care. He may have spent it all last year. He may, at least at the outset of the season, not be in the kind of shape he should be in. Teams can take advantage of that if we can get any kind of a pass rush on him. Amendola's out, by the way.
Right. That never helped.
Never helped at all. It really isn't coming from homerism because I'm going to be picking against the Saints a lot probably this year once they start losing, and they could well lose this one. But I think they got a good shot to win it. So just because look, if I thought the Patriots were themselves, I'd be picking them.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're very good right now either. I think both of these teams are almost very similar right now. So I'm going to go with the home team because I'm not sure either one of these teams is really up to snuff. So. I'll just go and beat the homer just one more week here.
You might as well. I mean, it's not like there's money on the line or anything. We're just trying to do our best to kind of situations. Sometimes you go with your head. Sometimes you go with your heart. That's how it goes.
Well, last week you did good. You did. You were 11-3.
Yeah,
I was not a paltry 9-5 myself.
Yeah, well, started off this week not so great.
We're 2-1 right now.
How just as a side tangent, how terrible are the Bengals right now? I mean, it's not a matter of whether they're terrible; it's how bad, because they looked horrible. I mean,
they are. I don't understand it because you think they haven't lost a lot of people.
No,
but
they haven't.
Just for years, Andy Dalton's never going to do anything in this league, but I didn't mean he was not going to. I didn't mean he could go two games without throwing a touchdown pass. Right? That
bad. Yeah, I mean, he's thrown to an absolute stud with A.J. Green, and they've had a lot of success as a tandem, as a quarterback-wide receiver tandem. They've been to the playoffs a couple of times, as I recall. They've got some weapons, and they just couldn't do anything, but – you know, just the futility.
Terrible.
I mean, it was, and then of course the Texans went with Deshaun Watson, and he was able to muster a touchdown for him, but it wasn't because, of course, he's playing at a high level. But yeah,
it was a nice run though. I mean, Texans fans had to enjoy that. Yeah.
That was you know, what he does best, I think, is, you know, he really just used his sheer athleticism to get that score, and that's one of the things he brings to a team. It's like I said, it's just I was watching it, and here's Andy Dalton, experienced NFL quarterback, considered one of the, I'd say, upper middle tier kinds of guys. Given that he's got the experience and he has the weapons to throw to and has won some games in this league, but you know, just God,
terrible,
really
terrible,
terrible. Oh,
absolutely. Let's pick up some games, shall we?
All right.
The Buffalo Bills at the Carolina Panthers.
Oh, the Bills or the Panthers? I got the Panthers at home. Bills just have to kind of prove to me that they are not the mediocre AFC East, perpetually mired in mediocrity franchise that they have been. So I hope I'm wrong because I really want the Patriots to have as much by way of competition in their division as possible. But, one of those games. I think the Panthers are still a pretty complete team, so I'll take them.
Same here. I agree. Of course, we already talked about the Bears at the Bucks. You're going with the Bucks, I'm sure.
One of those things where once the Bears start proving something to me, I'll start picking them.
Right. I have to go with the Bucks here too because they're going to be chomping at the bit after having, which has to be very frustrating to have to miss that opening game because of outside influences like that, which really got to be bad for you. And they're going to come out there.
No, I was just going to say a really bad rainstorm.
Right. Yes. Exactly. It's just a horrible. You know, when the guys were waited, you wait so long to start, then you have to wait 2 weeks. So, yeah, ugh. So they're going to be, I think, in front of their fans, they're going to probably want to go out there and rip it up.
Sure.
But, so, yeah, I agree with you on that one. The Minnesota V-Queens Vikings at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I should pick the Steelers at home, but I'm still kind of impressed by what I saw out of the Vikings.
Right.
A wild card from the Vikings is Sam Bradford's apparently got a bulky knee. They did an MRI on it, and it's negative, but they activated a quarterback off of, I think, their practice squad. So, you know, I think if Bradford is in the game and plays the way he did in the first week, then it's going to be a competitive game. Like I said, I should go with the home team, but I got a feeling. So I'm picking the Vikings.
I'm actually going with you on this one as well. Not just sort of like because of what they played last week, but also, I mean, the Steelers certainly weren't impressed with they barely beat the Browns. So
yeah.
I know they were at Cleveland, and Cleveland may have some things going on for them that's good and all that kind of stuff, but it's still
Browns.
Yeah, and the Steelers are never they're kind of notorious for having crappy early season. You know, September, they're not really much of a team.
That's true.
So I'll go with the V Queens on that one. The Arizona Cardinals at the Scott Tolzien led, or now probably something Brissett, the kid Brissett actually.
Jacoby
Brissett led, unstoppable Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, that's not the Cardinals looked like ass last week, but I still think that any team practically is better than the Colts. So I'm taking the Cardinals, and if who's that moron Jim Irsay that owns the Colts? I think he's going to be popping his pain pills up in the booth like one after another, because it's going to be a long season for him.
Yes, sir. Mr. Tolzien and Mr. Brissett are just going to.
They're going to rip it up, man.
Wow, those guys.
They should have both of those guys back there so that they keep the other side guessing. Who's going to take the snap?
Look, I think they should bring back Curtis Painter, but that's just me. So we both got the cards on that one as well.
Yeah.
Let's see here. You are going to Patriots Saints. I pick Saints. I know you're going to go with the Patsies.
Yeah, I picked the Pats. I really hope I'm wrong about that. But, you know, it's one of those things where until the vampire really looks dead
right.
in his coffin, you just it's hard to not pick them.
Both teams, I think, are going to – could probably stink it up, and one of them barely, like, squeak out an ugly win. So that's not a – either way. So, you know, either way,
yeah.
It's really tough to tell on that one.
I'm glad we're not picking the spread on these.
No way.
I've never been good at that.
I gave that up a long time ago when I used to lose money on it too much. The Cleveland Browns against the Baltimore Browns. I mean, Ravens.
Okay. I think the Ravens are kind of a mediocre team, but the Browns are
Browns.
The Browns. Yeah. So I got the Ravens there.
I am going to go way out on a limb evermore.
Oh, okay.
I think that these Cleveland Browns were pretty feisty against the Squealers, and like I said, I watched the Ravens. But Cincinnati sucks. We already established that, and so I don't think the Ravens did a whole lot against just a garbage team. I think the Browns might be. They're never too good at surprising the Ravens. I think they go on the road and surprise a few people. Listen, you gotta pick some surprise games.
Sure.
I got a couple of downers there. So, Browns in a surpriser. But I'm a shitty picker this year. Obviously, we've already seen that. So,
Well, 9-5 is still above 500, man.
Well, thanks, man. This is just the fun of picking, because I always like picking them.
That's it. The joy of picking.
Indeed. The Philadelphia Eagles at the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, you know, I've got the Chiefs in this one. The way they looked in that first game with the Pats was damned impressive, and especially given that their defense, it helps and it's easier to pick a team when you know that defensively speaking, they've got a few people that can ball. And Lamar Houston cat, that 20 sack dude. I mean, he's gonna be chasing Mr. Wentz around.
Right.
So I'm picking KC.
Agree, and I think that's an actually pretty good game. But I'm really, really starting to like Kansas City, and I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, they're one of those seminal old American football league franchises. So you know, yes, exactly.
Win one for Len. You guys got to get one. It's been too long.
Exactly.
The Houston Oilers Tennessee Tuxedo Titans at the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes, I've got the Titans in this one. I know the Jaguars had a good opening week, but I'm not a believer in Blake Bortles, I guess is the thing. You know, it's hard to.
How can you not be? Come on.
I know. It's just hard to get excited about that guy. As long as he's had to really show what he's going to show, and he just hasn't shown it, and they keep playing him. I don't know. I mean, and conversely, Mariota looks like he is advancing and is going to be a good quarterback in this league. So, just based on that, and the fact that the Titans seem to be on the upswing as far as their franchise is concerned, I'll go with the Titans. And if they let me down, I'll just send them a nasty letter.
Way to go. I am going to go with the Jagoffs. And I can give you absolutely no good reason why, other than they're going to come off of a pretty big high on the road there. At home, I think they have a decent chance against the Titans, but you're probably right. I'm going to lose that one.
This
one's a no-brainer. And I'm sorry, if you don't pick the team I think you should pick on this one, I'm just going to have to probably – I may have to hire a hit on you because you're probably insane. You're insane now if you don't pick – the New York Jets at the Oakland Raiders. Duh.
Yeah. You know, those Jets. Yes. You know, and the thing is, you want to talk about a game that has the potential to be one of those things where, I mean, the Raiders should just stomp. I mean, should just stomp the Jets until the white meat shows. You know, they should just gut stomp these guys. And yet, you know, watch it be one of those games where the Jets just somehow manage to you know pull it out. The Raiders play down to the level of competition in that case, and they lose. But I'm going with the Raiders. They should win. They shouldn't have trouble winning. But,
yeah,
you know,
This is not the Heidi Bowl. We're not talking about LaMonica versus Namath here.
No.
Raiders are going to chew them to pieces. We're not talking about the Tolzine or the, bottom of the barrel, but it's just Luke McCown. So,
exactly.
We're calling them the renowned McCown brothers.
Yeah.
All right, your old buddy, Mr. Cutler and his Dolphins at the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, I just think that given that Cutler hasn't been with the team for very long, I'm going to go with the Chargers at home. This is not to say that, the Dolphins might not come firing out of the chute and just play like gangbusters, but I'm not expecting that. So
yeah.
I'm just going to give the Chargers a chance to win one for me.
Well, yeah, I think for all the reasons you mentioned, they're going to be a little rusty, and Chargers are a good, solid football team, whatever city they're in. So, I'm with you on that one. The Dallas Cowgirls up in the mountains of play the Denver Broncos.
Okay, I'm taking the Cowboys on the road here. Broncos with a pretty good defense, but Trevor Siemian, you just don't think of him as one of those guys who you should stake your franchise to. So I think the Broncos are going to be drafting another first round quarterback in short order. Looks like Paxton Lynch is not exactly in the good graces of the team's management at the moment. He's apparently not looking so good with them. So.
Yeah, I am right there on that same page with you, brother. I think even though you know, it definitely doesn't help them to be up there in the up there in the mountains and everything. It never does help any team. I think Cowboys will have enough to pull it out against that considerable defense.
Yes.
So,
yes.
But it won't be easy. Won't be easy.
No, it won't be.
But the San Francisco 69ers at the Skedaddle Seahawks.
Yeah, I think that the Seahawks win this one at home. 49ers are still a rebuilding franchise and pretty freaking awful. I mean, when Blaine Gabbert is one of your possibilities starting quarterback in the preseason, you know,
right?
You're missing a lot of somethings. Not just missing something, you're missing a whole bunch of something. So yeah, I'll take the Seahawks.
I couldn't see the 49ers even scoring against that defense.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. The Washington Redskins at the Los Angeles Rams. What they got? Two games in Los Angeles, those spoiled little bastards.
I guess so. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? And they're both late games too.
Yeah.
No. The Redskins is at night. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No. Those, I take it back. They're both late games in the afternoon. That's insane. All right. Huh? Well. Okay. Redskins at Rams.
I have opted for the Rams. Redskins seem kind of out of sorts in the first week, and I don't feel good about picking them until maybe Captain Kirk Cousins can finally kind of get into a rhythm and start hitting receivers. They lost a couple of guys. I know they lost DeSean Jackson. So they have some things to figure out on offense, but I'm not passionate about this pick at all, but I just went with the Rams.
As did I. I mean, they're coming off. I don't care if it was the Colts for a young team like that to come off a big victory like that. Plus, I mean, you know, that Wade Phillips knows how to get a defense moving.
Yes, he does. That is very
really,
true.
It's
almost like he's been doing that a while.
Almost like he's a. And that's young team like that needs something like that. When you got a head coach who's a friggin' embryo.
Yes. No kidding. So,
Okay, your favorite team of all time, of course, the Green Bay Packers of the Fudge at the our two most hated teams playing each other. Weird. The Atlanta Falcons 34. Wow, man. That we could call this the hate bowl, man. Who do you want to win? I think we both want the stadium to crash down on their fucking heads. How about that?
Well, I am
a hate bowl.
Well, I'll put it to you like this: a hate bowl for me would be a Super Bowl between the Packers and the Patriots, where we finally get that directed asteroid strike, on whatever the facility happens to be, and that would be my. Hate bowl for sure.
This show, since it's two of us, that's the ultimate hate bowl, these two, though.
Yes, I'll tell you. And I went with the Packers in this game mainly because they might have revenge on their mind for the playoff blowout loss.
Right.
But also, and see, I think the Falcons beating the Packers was no fluke last year. The Falcons are an excellent team, and it's not like they don't have what it takes to beat the Packers. But there's one wild card here that always kind of keeps me guessing, and that's, I've noticed between the Cowboys, the Colts, and there was somebody else, it seems like these opening games at these new stadiums, the home team